Well, we don't ever want to forget, do we? We're in trouble if we do. Thank you, Quartet. Appreciate it. Seems like something's missing tonight. Or maybe I should say someone. I remember when I used to go away when I was pastor, and I would come back and people say, "We missed you," and it just wasn't the same without you there. Well, I feel that way about our pastor. It's just not quite the same when he's not here. But I'll do what I can to fill in a little bit. And I hope that God will use us and speak to our hearts tonight. If you will, take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. I want to preach on the subject of spiritual intoxication. Spiritual drunkenness, if you want to use that word. Spiritual intoxication. Ephesians 5, and I'm going to read quite a few verses, all the way down to verse 21, so you can get the context of it and see what's going on here and where it leads as we get down to verse 21. He says, beginning with verse 1, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor," talking about Jesus. "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness." That's supposed to be in the past. "But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." And here's the key verse here. "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." That's a command, folks. "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." Now in Ephesians chapter 5, we have some contrast that God gives us. And he's talking about a person who is under the control or the influence of liquor compared to a person who is under control of the Holy Spirit or by the Holy Spirit. One of the things comes out of the dirt and the earth and the earthly vineyard, and that is the wine. And we can be drunk on wine. But he says we should be filled with the fruit that comes out of the vine. That vine, according to John 15, is what person? The Lord Jesus. And so that's where we're to get our fullness. So it's a contrast. back in those days, they were, and when Paul was writing to them, he knew that they were thinking that they would drink the wine and that somehow in the grapes, they felt like that there was a control of God. It was a sacrament. And so when they took it and they drank it, they felt like they were drinking in God. That sounds a little bit like transubstantiation that some of the denominations practice. But that's what they were doing. They were thinking they were taking in by getting drunk. And the drunker you got, the more you had God in you. That's sort of crazy, isn't it? But that's what they were believing. So he's dealing with that, and he's giving the contrast of those things. And Paul reminded the Christians at Ephesus that this pagan belief was exactly that. It was pagan. Now, let's look at some of the truths about the Holy Spirit. Number one, the Spirit-filled life is a command. And I said that as I was reading verse 18. It is a command. It's not a suggestion or a request, but he says, but be filled with the Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit. So quiz your heart tonight. And there are two commands in that verse. One of them says, don't be drunk. Amen. And the other one says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. So two commands, don't be drunk, but be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And being filled with the Spirit of God is a command. It is not optional. Secondly, the Spirit-filled life is a command to every Christian. You know, it's interesting how many times we think that's for them. That's for the preacher and the staff and those other folks and that little select group of spiritual people maybe in the church. But the Spirit-filled life is a command to every Christian. And so this is not just for a select company of believers. Every born-again person is what he's talking about. And the word all in Acts chapter 2 and verse 4, don't turn there, but he's saying that all were filled with the Holy Spirit. Not some, but all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. So we're commanded to do it. It is for every Christian. And then thirdly, to be filled with the Spirit is more than just being indwelt by the Holy Spirit. You understand, if you're saved tonight, every Christian is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. You have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're not saved tonight, hear me, if you're not born again, you don't have the Holy Spirit living in you. You're not sealed by the Holy Spirit. And if you died, you wouldn't go to heaven because you don't have the Holy Spirit. You're not sealed by the Holy Spirit. You don't have that security. But we who are saved have the sealing of the Holy Spirit. But we can be indwelled by Him and not controlled by Him. We can be indwelled by Him. We may possess Him, but He does not possess us. He lives in us. We possess Him, but He does not possess us. And that's sad. Fourthly, to be filled with the Spirit is not a matter of excess, but of sanity. In the drunkard, it makes him act like a fool. But in a Christian, we are the people that are not filled with excess. The word really is riot there. But we are some of the most sane people in the world are people who are filled with the Holy Spirit. I wish some of the politicians would get filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, get saved and then get filled with the Holy Spirit. Because most spiritually sane people are those who are filled with the Holy Spirit. And by the way, Jesus is our example. He was filled with the Holy Spirit and the most sane person that ever walked on the face of the earth. Number five, the Spirit-filled life is to be the normal experience of God's children. It's to be the normal experience of God's children. This is not some ethereal, way out yonder thing where you get emotional about it and you work it up and you get it. No, the Spirit-filled life is the normal experience. Look again in verse 18. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. Be ye filled with the Spirit. That's a normal experience. Be habitually, what he's saying here is be you habitually being filled with the Spirit. Now, if we sin and we break the fellowship, we confess our sins and ask God to refill us, to anoint us again with the Holy Spirit. I sure am glad God allows us to do that, because so many times we lose the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. But he's saying that we are to be being filled, habitually being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And if we do that, we're going to live lives that glorify him. And if we are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, he's going to give us the ability to really be the kind of example we should be. He'll help us in our marriages. He'll help us in our business. He'll help us in our relationships. He will help us in every part of our life if we are being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. He is going to help you in every phase and facet of your life. Number six, being filled with the Spirit is not our getting more of him. It's not praying down and praying through and getting more of him. Again, I remind you, the Holy Spirit is a person. And when we are filled with him. We're filled with a person. We get all of him. We have all of him. We have full possession of him, and he should have full possession of our persons and our personalities. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Seventh thing, we're marked by a certain definite characteristics. It should be easily recognized. These things should be recognized. In chapter 5, in verse 15, he gives us some of those characteristics. Don't walk circumspectly. Don't walk like fools. Walk wisely. Redeem the time. The days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise. Be understanding what the will of the Lord is. Don't be drunk on wine, where it is excess. Speak unto yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, not just songs, but spiritual songs. Singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. He just gives us a lot of things there that he says should be true. We should be marked by these things in our lives, and we will be if we are indeed filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, he's comparing this, being filled with the Spirit, to a drunkard. So let's look at a drunkard a little bit. Let's just see. And many of you would know how drunkards act. And that's a sad thing, but we're going to show you about the drunkard. A drunkard is possessed by an immense sense of well-being. When somebody's drunk, they just think everything's fine. And even their worst enemy, they like them. You know, oh, I love you. But they have this feeling of well-being. Well, so should a spirit-filled Christian. We should have the reality of being filled with the Spirit and of being of well-being. In other words, a Christian ought to be exhilarated about being saved. They ought to be happy about being saved, exuberant about being saved. The Greek word is euphoria, euphoric about being saved. We should have a sense of well-being because we know the Lord Jesus Christ and because we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And you show me somebody that's not a happy Christian, I'll show you somebody that's not filled with the Spirit of God. They're not filled with the Spirit of God. The first Christians, they accused them in Acts chapter 2 of being what? Drunk. They were just filled with the Spirit. They were happy. And early disciples were noted for their joy. Their intense joy. There are a lot of verses that back that up. So we see that about this drunkard. Secondly, a drunkard is recognized by his face. He's recognized by his face. If a spirit-filled Christian ought to be recognized by their face. You know, you can sort of tell when a guy is drunk, right? If you watch Andy Griffin, you can sort of tell when Otis comes through the door. I mean, you know, he's drunk, right? And so you just sense that. You can see in their face, you recognize that they're drunk. But we should have the demeanor in our faces and in our countenance that would speak to the world that we have a radiance about us. I'll tell you, some people who say they're saved need to somehow identify their face with their salvation experience. They need to let them get in contact with each other. Now, I know you don't have to go around smiling like a chicken all the time, but at any rate, you need to be happy. And they need to see in your life not somebody that's miserable and somebody that doesn't have that that radiance about him. Moses had a radiance about him. Stephen had a radiance about him. And I promise you, the Lord Jesus Christ had a radiance about him. And we should be like that. So that's what he is telling us, to compare ourselves with a drunkard. He is recognized by his face. A third characteristic I find about a drunkard is a drunkard has a characteristic savor about him. In other words, sort of a smell. You can sort of smell it coming through his cells and on his body and through his breath. And that's, I don't know of any smell I hate in this world any more than that. I absolutely, totally despise and hate the smell of alcohol coming from someone's breath. It's a terrible thing. I've dealt with it more than I wanted to in the pastorate, and I've seen homes and people's lives ruined by it. I absolutely detest and hate the smell of it. But a Christian ought to have a savor about them too. There should be sort of a holy incense about us. There should be something about us that lets others know that we are saved, that we know the Lord, that we are people that are happy in the Lord. We are beautiful, we are graceful, we are gentle. These characteristics just come through our body, come through our life, come through the way we act, because we, like a drunk man, have a savor about us. Other people will look at us and they will sense that's a Christian. That's a Christian man, a Christian woman, a Christian teenager. And then a drunkard can be detected by the way he walks. An old drunk just fumbles all around and bumps into the wall and trips over chairs. And you've seen them when they're walking down the street. I remember riding with a policeman one night, and we were out riding, and this drunk was walking down the street in Connersville, Indiana. And he was just all over the street. And I said to George Allen, "George, I think he's drunk." He said, "Yeah, there's no doubt about it. You can tell by the way he's walking that he's drunk." And he pulled up, and very kindly, I would have put him in jail, but George said he knew the guy, and he said, "You get home and don't you come out of your house anymore tonight. I better not see you. I'm going to throw you in jail." But you could tell by the way he walked. Well, that ought to be true of the Spirit-filled Christian, shouldn't it? Look at verse 15 back in our text. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Circumspectly means you know that others are watching you. A disciplined life. And I might add this, a consistent Christian life. Not just hitting it every once in a while, but a life that depicts Christ, a disciplined life all the time. And a drunkard cannot walk straight, but thank God we can as believers. And we ought to be upright, and we ought to do the right thing in every relationship, in every respect that we have, because we are Spirit-filled Christians. We're anointed with the Holy Spirit of God. And then a drunkard is betrayed by the way he speaks. No drunkard's liable to say anything. I mean, you take a person who would not hurt anybody, wouldn't say anything negative, wouldn't say anything that would be hurtful to anybody, and then when they're drunk, they're liable to say anything. The drunk men will say something to their wife that's terrible. They'll curse, use God's name in vain. They will use all kinds of vulgar language. They will make all kinds of suggestive thoughts and innuendos that come through them. Why? Because they are drunk. They are controlled by liquor. And because of that, they will have a stammering tongue and sometimes a foul and impure tongue. You take an old drunk, sometimes they can't hardly talk. And we say, well, his tongue's so thick because he can't. He's drunk. She's drunk. And they cannot talk. But as a believer, we should be able to talk for the glory of God. We shouldn't have a stammering tongue. But I think a Spirit-filled Christian will be somebody who speaks up. And I believe this is something that is very vital for us. And that is, a Christian who is filled with the Holy Spirit will be a speaking out, testifying Christian. You will tell others about Jesus Christ if you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You won't mind speaking up and speaking out for that and testify. In Acts 4:20, The Bible's talking about the disciples, and disciples said, we cannot but speak the things we have seen and heard. We've got to tell it. The Holy Spirit gives us the power to tell it. The Holy Spirit leads us to tell it, and we will be Spirit-controlled, and we will use our language and use our mouths for the glory of God. Another thing about a drunkard is he is not responsible for his actions. In a way he is, but what I'm saying there is he cannot help when he's drunk doing what he does. And you wonder, well, why is he doing that? How in the world could they do that? Why would they be doing that? It's because he cannot control himself. He cannot help it. A drunkard does a lot of foolish things. They do a lot of terrible things. Now, we who are Christians and filled with the Holy Spirit, we should have in our lives the fullness of the Spirit, the life fruit that is supernatural in our lives. And we know that God tells us the only way we're going to live the Spirit-filled life, and you can read about that in the book of Galatians chapter 5, the Spirit-filled life is through the power, the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. As He controls us, then we are able to do that and live that Spirit-filled life. Look at, if you will, at Galatians chapter 5, just a second, and verses 22 and 23. He's talking about some things here, and he's talking about more than that, but there's some things that he speaks of in verse 22 that would be true of a Spirit-filled Christian, and this would be reflected in our lives. But the fruit of the Spirit, not fruits, plural, but the fruit of the Spirit, is love, amen, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. All of these nine fruits, a cluster of fruit all together, against such, he said, there is no law. Now, he talks about the deeds of the flesh above that. The deeds, the works of the flesh are manifest: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murdering, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. He just says, and anything like that. That's when the flesh is in control. But when the Holy Spirit is in control, we're going to have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, meekness, temperance, and faith, if the Holy Spirit is in control. Now, there's so many things that cannot be done unless it is done supernaturally. There are a lot of things in our life we will not be able to accomplish, we will not be able to do, unless the Holy Spirit is in control of our lives. Otherwise, it would be impossible. And so he's teaching us some things about the wife and the husband getting along, and the husband and the wife mutually honoring each other and honoring their relationship in the Lord Jesus Christ, and not fighting and feuding and divorcing and doing all those things. You see, we as Christians are without excuse. We have the Holy Spirit. He lives in us. We must let Him control us. And when we do, guess what? We're going to have happy homes, happy marriages, happy lives. And all of those things are going to be true if, indeed, the Holy Spirit is in control of us. You say, well, what about him? I'm doing all right. What about him? Well, he has to answer to God, but it may be you too. What about you? Are you really being controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, following what the Lord says should be done? Number 7. A drunkard is known by the company he keeps. Where's a drunk going to go? I've seen some come to church, but most drunks are going to go to a bar. They want to go to a bar. They want to get another drink. And those are the buddies that they hang out with. They're the ones they laugh with. They lie to each other all night long, but they laugh and they act like everything's all right. And they go through all these motions. They go to a bar and they hang out with other people who drink, other people who are like them. Well, a Spirit-filled Christian ought to do the same thing. Not go to the bar, but I mean, do the same thing in a different way. Be controlled to go and be with God's people, amen? Spirit-filled people. I love to be in church. I love to go to church. I love to be around God's people. So somebody that is filled with liquor is somebody that is runs around with that crowd. And I can't understand it when people say, I'm saved and the Holy Spirit indwells me and they don't come to church. I don't understand that. It doesn't make any sense. Because Jesus started the church. He established the church. He said we ought to go to church, forsake not the assembling together when the church is coming together. And I'm telling you, my friend, if you're filled with the Spirit of God, you want to be there. You want to be with that crowd. You want that fellowship. Sometimes you want that food, but you want to be there at any rate. Now, how do you become spirit-filled? Well, how does a drunk get drunk? They just keep drinking and just keep drinking and just keep drinking and just keep drinking until they're drunk. And that's what you and I need to do as Christians at in the spiritual realm. We need to read the Bible over and over and over again. We need to be on our knees praying and praying and praying and praying, confessing our sins, asking God to fill us with the Holy Spirit if we've done something that we shouldn't have been done and we shouldn't have done. We need to have, just like the drunk, a real thirst. An old drunk has a real thirst to drink. We need to have a thirst to be filled and know we're filled and see the evidence in our lives that we are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And so we just need to drink in some praying, drink in some churches, church preaching and teaching, and studying the Word of God. That's what we need to do. And ask God and confess our sins and ask Him to fill us. And then we need to remember we have a great capacity to, an old alcoholic has a great capacity to drink a lot of liquor. We have a great capacity. The psalmist said, open your mouth wide. God said, open your mouth wide and I'll fill it. If you really want to be filled and walk in the Spirit, filled with the Spirit and walk in the Spirit, let Him control your life, then you'll do that. And then it involves simple faith, just believing what God says. If we'll ask Him to fill us with the Holy Spirit, then I believe He'll fill us with the Holy Spirit, don't you? Now listen to me tonight. If you are here tonight and you've got sin in your life, something that you know is wrong. Could be immorality. Could be an impure thought life. It could be pornography. It may be that you're angry at somebody and you won't forgive them. It may mean that you're proud and arrogant. That's not being spirit controlled. It may be that for some reason or the other, you won't forgive anybody that's hurt you, and you just won't forgive them. I could go on and on and on. It may be some sex sin in your life. It may be something that you haven't given up. You know it's there. You know it's not right. You know that you should be witnessing more. You know what God has told you to do. We know what God says do, and the only way we're going to do it is by being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And staying filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Be ye being filled. There is no excuse for a believer to be a carnal Christian. None whatsoever. Because we have God. Do you realize the Holy Spirit is God living in you? God living in you. And so we need to be controlled and filled by the Holy Spirit of God. You got any grudges? You need to be refilled with the Holy Spirit of God. You have any of these things that God or the Holy Spirit has mentioned to your heart, you need to confess it to the Lord, ask Him to forgive you, do something about it, and go about your business being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Like a drunk in many ways, yet in a spiritual way, just like a drunk. That's what he's saying. Don't be drunk on wine wherein there's excess, but be you being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. He gives us that contrast. So I ask you tonight, are you saved? If you're not, you're not filled with the Spirit of God. You need to get saved. He moves in. And then if you will say, I want you to control my life, He'll do it. He's glad to do that. But if you're here as a Christian, I ask you, are you sure that God is in control of your life, the Holy Spirit? Are you materialistic? Are you like people who are unsaved, who the greatest thing to you is to have fun and pleasure seekers and all of those things? No, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God and let Him guide us. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and we'll be in our invitation just a moment. And you know and the Lord knows what God said to you tonight, so you act on that. I believe the Holy Spirit has been working in hearts. I count on that when I preach, that the Holy Spirit does the work. It's not me, it's Him. If He's spoken to you about something tonight, you need to come say, God, forgive me and fill my heart. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. And I haven't been walking in the Spirit as I should, but I really need to. And I make a commitment to you tonight to do that. If you're here without Christ, come. Father, the invitation is yours. Oh, how we thank you for yourself, for Jesus our Redeemer, and for the precious Holy Spirit who is here tonight, who indwells every believer. The sad thing is that He does not have all of us, though we have all of Him sometimes. May you help us to do what's right and to keep the commandment, the divine imperative, that we walk in the Spirit. And if there's somebody lost, oh, again, I pray that they'd come to Christ. In His name we ask it. Amen. While we sing, will you come if God spoke?